like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. Whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Grey Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with a band who has not been on the show for a while. It's funny because, you know, I like to do these episodes where I catch up with bands that I've talked to at various points over the years. And it seems like in a lot of cases, I'm doing sort of these regular check-ins. But you guys have been around for a while now. It seems like you keep doing bigger and better things, and I just haven't reached out to reconnect. So I'm glad that you did, because you know, it's nice to see kind of all the attention you're getting and touring and all this stuff happening with your band. So I think maybe the best way to start this off is if the three of you who are here want to introduce yourselves, give a bit of background about what you do as artists, and we can take it from there.
My name's Bill Smalley, and I sing in Show Pony.
My name's Thomas Cram, and I play lead guitar in Show Pony.
And I'm Nick Cooler, and play drums.
Cool. And I think that maybe a good way to start, you know, after that, is to sort of define what Show Pony is, because I think when I first had you on, it was like a very, very new thing, and it was very country-leaning, and I get the impression that things have changed sonically quite a bit, you know, over that time. So at this point, you know, in 2025, how do you define, you know, I'm going to start with a shitty question of how do you define the type of music you play? Because I don't think that the country label necessarily fits anymore.
It does not.
No, it definitely does not. And I mean, it's something I feel like we're trying hard to shed, because it doesn't represent us anymore. It's definitely more rock and roll, more alternative rock, a lot more aggressive.
Sure.
I think when people ask us, we just say it's rock and roll.
Yeah.
Which is vague, but it's like, it's, you know, I think a lot of artists relate to, like, it's difficult to like really hunker down and kind of limit yourself to one definition. But what we are fundamentally is rock and roll.
Okay, you're right. It is like a huge umbrella genre. And I know a lot of people think of that as almost a cop-out, because they want to hear, like, you know, this very, very tight definition of what you are. But what was the transition from the country thing to what it is now? Was that something that happened naturally, or was that something that was a deliberate choice on your part?
We went through a pretty big life event, which I've not really talked about publicly much. But I was in a major car accident 2 years ago. Prior to that, I was the primary songwriter, I would say. Like, of course, we all worked on songs collectively, but I would write songs acoustically on the guitar, and what came out was country music, really.
Sure.
And then after the accident, I was incapacitated for several months. But the guys kept writing, and they wanted to do something louder, something more aggressive. And I think that's where we all actually naturally want to be, and what suits us all to our core.
Right.
More. So I kind of just went to that direction. And then by the time I got on board, I started writing lyric and melody to that, and just felt right.
Well, that makes sense too. I mean, the backgrounds that you have as from previous projects and things like that, the loud thing completely fits. So it's, I mean, it seems like a natural choice. So now that, I mean, I assume you're, like you said, you're writing again. Are you sort of actively writing in this new style now, or is it still sort of a mix of where the different influences are coming from?
I think it's, I don't think we go in with like the idea of like making like a rock and roll tune. I think it's just whatever comes out, you know. I think we all have so many influences that, you know, oftentimes, you know, I'll come to these two with a riff, and then it's one thing, and, you know, it totally gets changed into another thing. So I think it just naturally happens.
I think we all share, like, collectively, like, very similar musical values and like what we're going for. So though we may have songs with different sonic vibes, like there's a cohesiveness, because I think we all just connect on that level.
Okay.
We have similar inspirations not all the same necessarily, but similar ones that make sense together. And it just kind of comes out that way through our music.
I imagine it's more just this is just from seeing, you know, photos and videos of stuff and stuff on your social media. But this current version of the band seems like it's probably a lot more fun to play live as well, right? I mean, having that kind of high energy thing.
Yeah,
for sure.
And you just got back from a tour, which I guess is sort of another indication of how things are going. I mean, you're very actively out there playing shows and touring and just getting out there. How what has the reception been to sort of the and I don't want to dwell on the whole you used to be a country thing for the whole interview, but like what has the reception been for the sort of switch? I mean, you know, now that you are this more aggressive, more high energy sort of project, have you found that people are more sort of accepting of that, like more willing to sort of give you the shot with that sort of vibe?
I think like it's I think it's just different though too, because like, you know, it's just a different, like, it's a totally different vibe. So like, you know, it's like what, you know, the reception that could be for the country stuff. It's like, not that people necessarily couldn't be as enthusiastic, doing that kind of stuff, but it's just like the energy is totally different. You know what I mean? So it's like now I think just by nature of like how we're playing, whatever, it's just like, you know, I think people are more kind of like, they kind of freak out a little bit more than they would, you know, with the previous stuff. But that's just, again, I think that's more of just like an energy wise what we're bringing. That doesn't necessarily mean like the songwriting is better or worse. It's just, I think it's just more high energy. So it's like, you know, the reaction's different just based off of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense for sure. And was it always the idea to, this is the last question I'm going to ask about the country thing, I promise. Was it always going to be a continuation, or was there any point where you thought, okay, this has changed fundamentally, this needs to be a new band, or was that ever even in the cards?
Members, we have stayed within the project, but the way we see it, you know, like you said, like we've been a band for a while. But it feels, this doesn't feel like a band that's been around for a while. 2 years where things really shifted and changed. So, I guess that's what I'd say about that.
No, that's fair for sure. Do you guys feel the same way too, the other two members here?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I don't know if there was ever a point where we were like, oh, we should change the name.
Yeah.
It definitely was strange at times trying to break the narrative of that country thing. Because, you know, even like, I'd go out and, you know, somebody would know, show pointing, and they'd be like, oh yeah, you guys are that all country band. And it's like, you know, and so there's been a lot of work put into like trying, it takes time for people to move away from that.
Or even playing and people read our old bio.
Yeah.
We're on stage, we're like, that's the old one.
We've had people like read that we're like an alt country band and then we're about to play really loud rock and roll. And it's like, well.
But I would say, but at the same time, though, it's like, who knows? Because, you know, it's like, I think some of our, like, obviously, like, we all went to go see Daniel Romano play a couple of weeks ago or whatever. And it's like, you know, he kind of is somebody that has had a lot of different shifts in his, I don't know if you're familiar with
sure,
him anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of his stuff is just like completely different. And who knows, like, in the future, what we could write. Because I think that's, it's just like, I don't know, I think that, like our influences are kind of, it's like part of your identity, you know what I mean? It's like your roots. So it's like, who knows, maybe in the future we will write a whatever song, or you know what I mean? It's like it keeps things interesting too, you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually a good thing about having that big tent rock and roll descriptor, right? Is that you do have the ability to shift and change. There's so many other things within rock and roll that you can conceivably become should you choose to change directions. So you have, I mean, obviously, like Luke said, you just had a tour. You have new music that is, you know, happening, out, coming out, all this stuff. So what, I guess, what can people expect from Show Pony at this point? Like, what's happening, you know, with the band? Now you're back in town at the time of recording this. You got a lot going on. What's sort of the newest news with the band at this point?
Well, we have two shows coming up in December. We have on December 5th, we're doing an Amyl and Sniffers tribute show. We did them for Bands as Bands last summer, and the reception was really great. So we brought it back. So we're doing that. And then the next day, we're releasing another single. So we just released Lightning, our first single, a few weeks ago. And now, December 6th, we're releasing Makes No Difference at the Park Theater with Uncanny Valley and Bland.
And yeah, I know. Go ahead.
Uncanny Valley. We just did the tour with them. They're a Calgary band, and so they joined us out. We joined them out there, and we're going to fly them out for this show.
Oh, cool. So you know, we're obviously in an era right now where the way people listen to music and consume music and release music is completely different than it was even a few years ago. So I mean, you're releasing singles now. Is that sort of the deliberate choice on your part to do this kind of rollout of one song and then a little bit later another song? Because a lot of bands are doing that right now where there's not even necessarily leading up to a larger project. It's just sort of the single is the project. And I mean, people are even doing release shows for singles and things. It's very much a shift in sort of how bands are just presenting their music. Is that something you're doing, or are these all leading up to a larger project?
Yeah, it's leading up to a full EP, which will be coming out in the new year.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it's such a strange world to market music these days and release music. You know, I forget the exact number, but there was something like 100,000 songs a day being submitted to Spotify. And so, you know, to just release an EP, you know, or even a full album, when you're a band this size, a lot of times it just gets lost in the noise.
But sure.
I feel like if you slowly put one out and give each single the attention that it deserves and the promo that it deserves goes a long way.
How do you, I mean, maybe this isn't a question that you can answer. I think a lot of people don't know the answer to this, or otherwise they would maybe be way more successful than they are. But how do you get heard? I mean, like you said, there's so many songs. Everyone and their dog is releasing like an album worth of material every 10 minutes to Spotify and shit. Like, how do you get heard in this? I mean, I know locally, obviously, there's you have name recognition. People know you. People have seen you in other bands. They've seen this band. You know, they've seen the name around. But once you get beyond Winnipeg, how do you get the word out about your band in this bizarre dystopian future that we're in right now?
That's a good question. That's what we're trying to figure out.
And we're trying to figure out our own way. You know, we're trying to figure out how to do that in a way that's authentic to who we are and our values. You know, some people, it's like dancing on TikTok and that's totally cool and valid and that's fun. But like for us, like, oh, that's not what we want to do. That's not us. It's not, you know, so we're trying to figure out, how to like accurately depict who we are out there. And, you know, it's a tough thing to kind of navigate.
I think that has to do a lot with like connection though. You know what I mean? Because it's like, hopefully like, you know, whatever, like these songs, like hopefully they connect with an audience. You know what I mean? Because even a lot of stuff, it's like, you know, whatever, it could be like getting on playlists or getting on, you know, radio stations plays or whatever. But like a lot of that has to do with like, you know, connecting with some kind of audience that will be like, yes, this is something that we want to bring into this world. You know what I mean? Like, and yeah, I think that there's like a lot of stuff. There's a lot of like new music that we like, or that could be, you know, like where we feel like it could fit in within this thing. So it's like, yeah, hopefully it'll connect with those people, you know? Mm-hmm.
Maybe a more micro version of that question then is, you know, within the local music scene, have you, I mean, obviously you have experience as musicians in Winnipeg going back a number of years, and that obviously helps. But in terms of figuring out where Show Pony sort of fits within the local ecosystem, have you sort of determined, you know, other bands that sort of have a similar vibe to you, or that you at least feel like you, you know, potentially share audiences with and have sort of the same scene within a scene with?
I mean, to an extent, I feel like, you know, we kind of exist in this weird world where we can, where we're rock and roll and we're heavy, but there's a bit of a pop sensibility to the songs, which tends to translate to a whole bunch of different audiences. So as we've always been kind of antisocial in that way, and we kind of stick, but
don't have a lot of friends.
Don't have any sort of friends, and we put for ourselves a lot of the times. And so when we're choosing bands to like play with and do stuff with, oftentimes it's just like, oh, we like that band's cool, let's put them on the bill. It's never like, oh, is that band rock and roll? You know?
Yeah.
Or like, even a band, like, I'll use them as an example because they're a local band that I just think is a lot of fun. Like, even a band like Boys Road, for example, they're just doing their own thing. Like, they're existing on their own. They're doing their own thing. And I think we saw a band like that. We're like, oh, we are also doing our own thing. That, you know? And I think sometimes you have to, like, find your people in that way and, like, see who's doing something interesting or out there.
Yeah.
Or a little odd. It's not, that's exciting.
Well, that's kind of what I was getting at too. Not the whole not having friends thing, but the idea that, like, you know, you're this rock band, but you're not as easily definable as like a hardcore band, right? I mean, if you are a straight ahead hardcore band, there's a pre-built scene for you. You sort of know who your people are immediately, right? And if you're, you know, a lot of other genres, the same thing. But because you're, you know, somewhat nebulous, I guess, genre wise within this larger sort of loud music umbrella, I mean, it's not as clear. But I like the idea of finding people who are doing something interesting, regardless of sort of sonically where they are, just as long as it's something that stands out as being unique.
And also thinking outside of like what's local. So Uncanny Valley, for example, an Alberta band, we found them and we liked what they're doing. And it's like, okay, why are we thinking just so locally? Why don't we like expand?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
It's very easy to get stuck in Winnipeg, also important. Sure. Yeah.
Well, I think that's important too for, you know, cause like I can only speak for myself, but in the past, like I've done a lot of touring across Canada and I think it's important to, yeah, like try to create connections with bands, like with bands that you have kinship with in different provinces and like share audiences, you know what I mean? Cause like I've done that a lot where I book tours and, you know, it's like you just kind of book whoever, and like there's lots of great music that I discovered that way, but just like whatever. But then sometimes it's just like you show up and it doesn't really fit well, and you're just kind of like, ugh, you know what I mean? And especially when you're spending like so much money to be on the road and not necessarily connecting with the audience that you want to, then it's kind of, not that it's like, I wouldn't say it's a waste of trip, but it's like, you know, there's, you know, hopefully you can get in front of the audience that you want to be in front of. So yeah, I think it's cool to like, you know, find these other little kindred spirits across the country and hopefully like, you know, set up shows and create a little scene for yourself.
For sure. Yeah. And I do think that a lot of people, I mean, myself included, obviously, I tend to think very, very insular and local and hyper local. And you're right. There is, especially because the way everything's connected now too, there is that opportunity to reach out and get to know bands from other parts of the country or parts of the world that may be more sort of in tune with what you're doing than people here in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
with the recordings, you know, like we kind of established earlier on, the live element of what you do seems to be a very big deal. I mean, just in terms of visually, it's very, all the photos I've seen of your band are very striking. It looks like a lot of fun. I feel bad that I haven't seen you live yet. It will happen at some point, but I mean, it looks like a super high energy show. It looks like that is a really big part of what you do. How do you kind of maintain that energy on recordings? Because a lot of the time people, that's where people, you know, mess up, right? They can have an amazing live show, but then they can't capture that sort of energy on an album or a single or whatever. Like, have you found a way to sort of mix the two well enough that you can have that vibe on the recordings as well?
Yeah, I think that's kind of why we took so long to put anything out, because we've had these songs written for years now, and or I guess 2 years now, and we haven't put anything out because we try stuff and not like it, and try stuff and not like it because of that aspect, because the live show was. We want our live shows to be huge and loud, and we couldn't figure out how to do that. And then we got introduced to this producer named Ryan Worsley from BC, and we sent some stems to him, and he did a mix, and it sounded huge.
Cool.
It was like kind of exactly what we wanted. And then so we worked with him on this EP. He produced the EP, and something about the way he mixed it just made it sound as big as we wanted it to, you know.
And I also think, like, doing a show live and then doing recordings they're two different animals, you know. So it's trying to kind of, you know, we know how to do the live thing that's like really strong. A recording's like, how do we do this as us and still kind of maintain like that energy and everything? But it's different. So you have to kind of respect those differences too.
Is it hard to navigate those differences, like, at first? I mean, I'm assuming at this point it sounds like you sort of know what you want to do in both venues there, but did it take time to sort of figure out how to get that live vibe in the studio, or is it something that just naturally worked with you as a band because you've been playing together for as long as you have?
I think vocally for me it's very different. It's different in front of a crowd with all this energy, and then oh, you're in a booth.
Yeah,
maybe the lighting is kind of like bright or whatever, but like, the energy is different, so you have to kind of go into a different place in your mind. So I think that I feel like I'm starting to really discover personally how to do that, but that was definitely something I had to work on.
Yeah, I feel like we also reverse engineer, because, like, you know, when we're sung, because again, like, the core of the band is the three of us, and we do the writing. So it's like, you know, part of why it takes so long is that it's like we just comb over them. So, you know what I mean? It's like, even the songs that we're gonna have on the EP, it's like I have versions of the stuff dating back like 2 or 3 years, and like, you know what I mean, if you were to like listen to that version, it's so different than what we ended up on, you know what I mean? And so I think it's just like, it's also, I think it like, you know, for some bands, like it could be exactly this, or it's very similar, like their live show is almost exactly like the record, you know what I mean? It's just like go in and bust it out and whatever. I think that, like, for what we did on this, it's like we kind of like respected the process of the studio as its own thing, you know what I mean? Like, there's layers that, unless we're running tracks, like, we're not gonna have it live, you know what I mean? Like, there's just like, we kind of threw the kitchen sink at it, you know what I mean, just to, like, you know, whatever, just for ourselves to try to translate what we heard in our head. So yeah, I think live, it's just a totally different beast, and we play so loud, nobody's gonna hear her stuff anyways, you know what I mean?
I guess maybe a better question there is then, how, like you said, you have these versions of the songs going back quite a while, and they changed sort of over time. At what point do you know when the song is done? Like, is it constantly evolving? Like, could some of these songs change again 2 years down the road, or do you have a definitive version? Are the recorded versions, have they sort of become the definitive versions for you? Or, like, I guess how much more mutation and evolution do these have in them?
Well, I think, but also, like, with working with Ryan, like, our producer, like, part of the reason why we wanted to work with him, and you know, we've worked with lots of people locally that are really great, but one of the things that sort of excited us about working with him was, like, you know, I think kind of fundamentally, he, like, one of the things that he's good at is, like, songwriting, you know what I mean, and, like, whatever. So, you know, it's once we, like, kind of got the as we tipped him as far as we could, and a lot of the times, like, he would kind of come back at us with, like, arrangement stuff, just being like, well, maybe we should shorten this or blah blah blah, and kind of, like, tighten it up a little bit. So kind of even near the end, there was like, we did a little bit of chopping or moving stuff around, you know what I mean? So it's like, right till the end there was stuff. And then we flew up to Vancouver to do vocal sessions. That was cool. That was last thing that we recorded, and we changed some stuff up there. So it's just like, it's ever evolving. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so. That's fair. I mean, I know it's a hard question to answer too, right? Because I mean, you something could happen where a year from now you decide you want to completely revamp this stuff, or maybe you'll be happy with it. Who knows, right? But I guess just kind of jumping off of that, you know, you have some of this stuff recorded now. You got a single that's coming out soon. You have some that have already been released. Does any of this stuff feel old to you now? I mean, because these are older songs, like you said, some of them date back years. The single you have coming out, for example, is that, do you feel like the band has already progressed beyond that, or are you sort of comfortably still in that mode sonically? Obviously you're going to be playing it a lot because that's sort of what you do when you have a single coming out, but I guess, so where are you on the timeline as a band? Have you passed that, or are you still firmly in that zone?
Strangely, it does in some ways still feel new. I'm not sick of them.
That's good.
You know, even lighting the song that we just released, like, I think I even sing that a little differently live. I think there's just, I understand that some artists will get sick of stuff, and I'm sure eventually that may happen, but I still really connect to these songs.
I agree. Like, I think because, you know, this was the first time that we really achieved like a closer to a sound that we wanted to, there's something real special about it.
Yeah.
I think we have, you know, in the songs that we've been writing recently, there has been a little bit more growth in that too now. But I still feel connected to these songs.
Well, you have the benefit of sort of trying them out in front of a lot of new audiences too, right? So I guess that helps, having that sort of crowd hearing them for the first time or one of the first times and getting to experience that sort of while you're presenting it that way too.
Yeah.
Good thing about this being a podcast, someone could hear it the day it comes out, in which case you have a lot of things happening. They could hear it a year from now. Apparently, I can never stop doing this show, so they could hear it 10 years from now. Like, what's the best way to find out more about what you're doing? If someone's tuning into this podcast whenever they do, and this is the first time they're hearing of you, where would you direct them to find your music, find out about shows, that kind of thing?
I think the way to connect us best is Instagram. So we're at showponyband on Instagram. And then I say Spotify for music, or any major platform for music. Where else y'all?
Yeah, we got Facebook.
Instagram's the number one, I would say.
We're also, pretty small band still. So I feel like three things. We're still pretty open there.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's a good thing to do. Yeah, you never know. Someone could hear this 10 years from now, because like it could be episode 3000 or something by then, and then someone will, you might be huge. Who knows? So that's it's always kind of a cool thing about
Fingers
doing this. So, yeah. It's nice to go back and see like bands that, I interviewed when they were just starting out, and then suddenly they turned into this big thing, and it's cool. So hopefully that happens for you guys. The last thing I wanted to ask you about is I keep seeing photos of your merch and it's awesome. And like, who is doing the designs for that? Because it's super cool.
That is my wife, Adele.
Cool.
She's a painter. And so we kind of have a built-in merch designer. So I feel bad for her sometimes because I'm like, honey, we got a new t-shirt. And then I have these images in my brain that I want to put out there. And then we sit down and I'm sure she gets annoyed with how much work we got to put in, but she does amazing work. Even our latest single cover, The Horse with the Lightning, she hand painted that.
Cool.